shock and awe was not invented for Saddam Hussein. It was invented for Joseph Stalin, and it worked pretty well. On July the 24th, 1946, as most of Russia slept, a team of U.S. Navy frogmen guided a heavy steel container to its final resting place in the clear waters of Bikini Lagoon, 2,500 miles west of Honolulu. They stabilized it with cables 90 feet below an anchored amphibious assault ship that gloried in the name LSM-60. The container was made from the conning tower of the USS Salmon, a scrapped Navy submarine, and inside it was a working replica of the plutonium bomb that had killed 80,000 people at Nagasaki the previous year. That evening, on a support vessel outside the lagoon, the frogmen ate T-bone steaks with all the trimmings. Around the LSM-60, like giant moon shadows on the water's calm surface, a target fleet of 85 more ships spent that night, emptied of crew and supplies, with no role left except to sink. One of the closest to the bomb was the USS Arkansas, a 27,000-ton battleship that had carried President Taft to Panama before the First World War and bombarded Cherbourg and Iwo Jima in the Second. For most of her life, the only way for a battleship to go down had been with guns blazing. But the nuclear age had changed that. It turned out that with the help of an atom bomb, a battleship could go down like a toy in a bath. It could be flicked onto its bow and rammed into the seabed so that its superstructure fell off as if never even bolted on. Shortly after breakfast time on the morning of the 25th, the Arkansas was photographed from every angle as the bomb in the steel container was detonated 170 yards from her hull. Cameras in a B-29 bomber 25,000 feet above the lagoon and a little to the south captured the sight of a huge disk of ocean turning white in an instant. That was the water beneath the Arkansas being vaporized. The shockwave from the initial blast rolled the ship onto her side and ripped off her propellers. A 6,000-foot column of spray and water, created in about 2.5 seconds, then heaved her into a vertical position, in which two-thirds of her length were clearly visible 10 miles away, dwarfed by the largest man-made waterspout in history. She has lain upside down on the floor of the lagoon ever since. The Arkansas was one of 10 ships sunk outright by what came to be known as the Baker Shot. It was the second of 2 nuclear tests conducted at Bikini, with undisguised panache as the world adjusted to an awesome new technology, and to the daring swimsuit it inspired. The first ever bikini, presented in Paris that month, was called Latombe, and the second was a buttock-bearing thong, described by one fashion writer as what the survivor of a nuclear blast could expect to be wearing as the fireball subsided. Participation in the tests by U.S. military personnel was voluntary but popular. In shirt sleeves and sunglasses, 37,000 men extended their wartime service for a year to help set up the tests and to see for themselves the power of the weapon that had brought Japan to its knees. Pat Bradley was there, up a tree with a movie camera on Bikini Atoll, to film the blast and the tsunami it produced, a single 90-foot wave that subsided before it hit the island, then 3 smaller waves. It took a couple of minutes before the first wave came into the atoll, he remembered. The second came in higher, then the third completely covered the island 4 to 6 feet deep. A lean and thoughtful young Air Force captain named Stan Beerley was there too. He had survived the World War in B-17 bombers over Italy and would survive the Cold War in the regulation dark suit of the CIA. His tasks would include trying to keep Gary Powers and the U-2 in the shadows where they belonged. But for the time being, the Cold War was pure spectacle. The foreign and domestic press were welcome at Bikini. The Baker Shot was witnessed by 131 reporters, including a full Soviet contingent. With Warner Brothers' help, the Pentagon released a propaganda film of the blast for anyone who had missed the initial coverage, and Admiral William Spike Blandy, who oversaw the operation, posed with his wife cutting an angel food cake in the shape of a mushroom cloud.